than you ever could imagine. And I just want to encourage you and help you. And, you know, I preached at Pastor Payne's Bible conference yesterday. And was it yesterday? Whatever it was, Friday night. And I'm going to give you the short version of what I preached there. You know, I preached a long version, but some of these things that we've talked before about. So I'm going to give you the short version. But I just want to encourage you in your faith. You know, so often, you know, we think we just don't know enough to be what God wants us to be. And often that's not the case at all. We just don't apply enough of what we already know. It doesn't take a lot of knowledge to have great faith. It just takes a little knowledge that you actually believe and embrace and you to have faith. Now, one of the things I said, God showed me years ago, and you know, and you've probably heard me say it, you know, we call ourselves Bible believing Baptists. But for the most part, we're Bible comprehending Baptists. That means we understand what the truth is. We comprehend what the truth is saying, but we really don't believe it. And that's why a lot of people that are faithful to assemblies, and they're unfaithful to God. And, you know, I've said before, you know, if all of us get right with God, some of us would probably miss church less because we'd be helping somebody, you know, instead of we'd run out of time. There wouldn't be enough hours in a day, you know. And so I never forget, you know, when our neighbors came down once and their kids had gotten a fight and the dad was gone and the mom had come get me and we're getting ready to drive off for church, you know. And I'm from the old school where I like being punctual, like being on time, you know. And I'm not pointing out anybody that doesn't. No, I'm just telling you that's where I am. And right, wrong, or different. Now, I'll be honest, there's times I took pride in that, but now I just serve the Lord, amen. Because, and I'm sitting there, and in the past, I'll be honest with you, if that had happened, probably 5 years prior to that happened, I would have said, I've got to go. I've got to be at church. But I stopped, and I went up, and talked with the boys, and got things calmed down. I stayed longer as needed. We got here, I think we got to church like a half hour late or something, you know. And so, but it was just what we needed to do. Amen. And so, and it's good just to be Christian, you know, which means Christ-like. You know, it's not just a name we attach to ourselves. I said for years, part of the reason when I was 18, I said I'd never be a Christian because I saw people that proclaimed that name but didn't have any resemblance of Christ. Whenever I play basketball, you have guys that talk and say they can play basketball. And many of them are lying. Many of them. But I didn't quit playing basketball. I just kept their lying and going on. But all that said, I'm going to stand just for a moment. Get you stretching in. So I know how Satan works and gets us all tired. And, you know, just we're going to read just a few verses here. And I'm already making the introduction longer than the message probably. But we'll see. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse number 5. Matthew 8 and verse 5, you'll notice that the word of God says this. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. In verse number 8, we find a declaration of faith from the centurion that went to hell for his servant. He said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only. And I preached a message called that, but today we're going to preach one called just one word from God. One word from God. Father, you know how we need help. Help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In the passage, great truths. It can be applied in many different ways. But one word from God, the centurion has a servant that's in great need. He's at home, and he's grievously tormented. He's sick of the palsy. And Jesus says, I will come and heal. Next time I read that, I get chilled. I love that. That God would say, I'm coming. I'll come and heal. I'll take care of it. The first thing I want you to notice, one word from God, number one, is sufficient to change the conditions of your home. One word from God is sufficient to change the conditions of your home. Because in verse 6, we just read it, he said, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy. And we just read the story. So the centurion said, if you'll just speak the word, this condition that in my home that I couldn't change, this condition in my home that I couldn't help, this condition in my home that I could not heal, if you'll just speak the word, this condition in my home can change. Number two, one word from God is just as powerful as the physical presence of Jesus. One word from God is just as powerful as the physical presence of Jesus. Because Jesus offers, he said, I will come and heal him. Now, can you imagine? Why in the world would you turn that down? You know the power of Jesus. You know that every time Jesus is around, something major happens. And he comes and asks you for help. But he said, Lord, I believe in your word so much that you don't even have to be where I'm at. If you'll just speak the word, somehow the need that, honestly, that neither one of us is looking at right now, because the servant is at home sick and he's away from the home with Jesus. And if you'll just speak the word, you don't even have to go to my home and physically show yourself presence. Your word is just as powerful as if you physically went there. Just do something. You know, and if you just caught the glory of that, I was thinking about how that all comes together. Nobody understood. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he understood the Word was God. So Jesus did not physically have to be there because he understood that the Word was God. And so when he reads the Word, if Jesus would speak the Word, that Word was just as good, just as powerful as the physical presence of Jesus Christ. You know, most of us struggle in our lives because when we're going through something, we want to see some evidence. Am I right about it? That's most of us. I threw myself in that too. I'm just telling the truth. But you know, one word from God, it really is just as powerful as the physical presence of Jesus Christ. That struggle you may be going through right now, that trial, all you need is to know that Jesus spoke the word in the situation. If you can just rest in that, even though you can't physically see Jesus, you can't touch him. In fact, the centurion said, don't bother coming because I know the power of your word. Don't even come. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. And under my roof, that's the mercy. He's talking about the mercy of God. But I'm not worthy that you would even help me, that you would even hear my request. So, Lord, if I'm under authority, I know it is, have people working for me, and I'm so far under you that all you have to do is speak the word, and one word from you will do. You don't even have to show up. That's how powerful you are. Psalm 33, verse 6, the Bible says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. You understand that? That by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Anybody like the stars? Anybody like seeing the moon? Anybody like seeing the thing? We were in Susan and the little boys, and we were in Erie for a couple of days in Pennsylvania. And you know, it's amazing, once you leave the city, there are stars that exist. You know, which I could probably see them in London, actually. Maybe you can see the stars up there, can't you? Okay. And we saw what they call the drinking gourd. And I hadn't seen that thing for years. The last time I remember seeing a drinking gourd was in a book. But we could see the stars at night, and And it was so bright, and I never forget one of the times me and when the boys were very little, right when we were coming to Canada, or just before, I was preaching in Manitoba, and we were driving back from Manitoba. No, we were coming here somewhere. Yeah, I picked up a risograph or something. I can't remember what it was. And we took Highway 2 from Manitoba, and they slept, and I drove off. Yeah, that's when you came. That's when you got the chicken pox. I remember that. So he didn't forget that trip. And well, we left like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and it was so bright from the sky. I drove through the night while they slept. You could literally drive without the headlights on because it was that bright out there. And in fact, I did a couple times just see, is this really this bright? And I turned the headlights off, like, wow, I can see everything. And we survived, so you can see that. But that's one little lady to make it. No, I'm just kidding. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And we can't even touch the stars. And we can't see Jesus. And so whatever we're going through, if we just have the word over it, then it can handle the situation. Psalm 119, I think it's verse 89, says, forever. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So, from eternity past, Jesus has set things in power by his word. Eternity present, future, forever, the word is settled. You know, one thing I've said this before, and we really don't believe it enough, is that the Bible teaches and says this, that God is upholding all things by the word of his power. Upholding all things, I said it in Hebrews, upholding all things by the word of his power. Now think what that really means. Now what we do is we study some things, we get some scientific principles, and we think in our finite mind that God is obligated to be bound by the way we think him to be bound by these scientific principles. Whereas since forever the word is settled in heaven, and since the Word was God, and since Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever, the Word still is God. When you and I need a situation, we often look to the natural, and we determine by what we have seen in the natural, or what we even declare to be scientific fact, and we determine that God can only work by these certain parameters. But by the Word of the Lord, the heavens were made, but the Bible says he is upholding all things by the word of his power. So all we need is him to speak the word in the situation, because it's the word of God that actually governs everything anyway. I mean, imagine how you would believe and how we would leave this place if we just believed that alone, and how it would transform everything we do. You know, it would really, we would hunger and thirst for righteousness, because this is what actually holds everything together. It's not the government, it's not our current economic situation, it's not your job, it's not your health, it's not anything. It's the Word of God. So, that's good. All right, number three, one word from God is enough to have a faith that stands out in the midst of a nation. One word from God is enough to have a faith that stands out in the midst of a nation. Isn't it amazing how God always had appropriate messages for several people out today? And even if everybody was here, you look at Toronto and think, wow, can we make a difference in this city? You may go so far as say, can we make a difference on your job? You may say, well, can it make a difference in my home even? But you know, Jesus says something very unique about this one word from God. Because he's the centurion here. Jesus responds to his faith here in verse number 10. He says, after he makes a declaration, Lord, if you just speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. We're in Matthew 8 and verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So Jesus says in the entire nation of Israel, I haven't seen faith like this. Now, did this man speak all platitudes about everything he actually knew about God? Did he start with Genesis and tell how... did he declare the prophetic line of the Messiah from Genesis and the Old Testament, all the different things? And did he declare a lot of what we might consider to be deep or hidden truths about God? The things that we often think we need to have great faith, we think we need a great accumulation of knowledge, whereas the man just said this, I just believe in the Word, if you just speak the Word. And Jesus said, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I'm always thinking, what does that mean? You know. Well, and I thought, you know what that means? Because here's a man that actually understands what faith is. Because he says, Lord, because, in fact, this is good. Don't miss this, please. He chose faith. You understand what I mean? He chose faith. Because Jesus offered him sight. But he chose faith. Because Jesus said, I will come and heal him. I'll come to your house and I'll heal your servant. He said, no, Lord. He said, your word is the substance of things hoped for. Because that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Lord, you do not have to physically come and do anything at all. Your word, if you just speak the word, if I just know you spoke the word, that's the substance that I need. I don't even have to see you at my house. Just speak the word to be all right. Amen. and then he go further. The reason is great faith. He said, Lord, not only is your word the substance, because he said, Lord, I don't know what the distance was from where, from the house to go find Jesus, but he would walk away from Christ on the authority of the word. Not depart from Christ. But he would depart from the physical presence of Christ on the authority of the word, knowing that he's got a servant at home that's ready to die. And I don't have to have a report that somebody said his condition changed. I don't have to have a report that, well, Jesus, you speak the word, and I'll send another servant to check on him. And when I have confirmation he's okay, I'll go back to the house. He didn't say that. He just said, just speak the word and you can go about your way and I can go about my way. Because that's the substance that I need. That all I need to hold on to know that this life and death situation is changed is just one word. Just speak the word. And then he says, Lord, not only is your word the substance, the reason this is a great faith in Israel, he said, your word is the evidence. But I tell you something that'll change your Christian life if you can believe that right there. You know what God wants from your life right now? Moreover, brethren, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But you say, Pastor, how will that manifest itself? How will I see the difference that being faithful makes? Well, the question is, do you live by faith? Will the word? He said it requires faithfulness. And if you look that passage up, it doesn't really talk about what's going to happen after that. He just says required that you be found faithful. And that would please God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And if you can go on the authority of that word, you can go through this life and travel that distance into a life and death situation, knowing that he gave the word, so that's all the substance you got to have. God told me to be faithful. And all the evidence I have to have is that God told me to be faithful, that he gave me the word of faith with which we preach. I was thinking about this, and the Bible talks, tell me, in Acts chapter 17, just for a moment, Acts chapter 17, y'all still with me? Amen, amen. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse number 6. Don't run, just repent. Amen. I had to repent after I studied this myself. Acts 17 and verse number 6. It says, when they found them, referring to Paul and Silas, they drew not Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And I thought, you know, their faith stood out in the midst of a nation. And then, you know, the message, one word from God. What was the one word that transformed Paul? What that made them to turn the world upside down? And I would say it's just the word, go. Because the Great Commission says, go, ye therefore, and teach all nations. It's amazing how if you'll just go, okay, if you have a job tomorrow, why would you go to work? Well, for the purpose of the Great Commission. Because that's God, why God left you here. Well, Pastor, we're all going to have bills, and we've got to pay bills. But don't go to work just for bills. That's all you ever do is go for just bills. Go for the Great Commission. You turn your coworkers upside down. Trust me. they will. Go to the bank tomorrow with the Great Commission. I'm amazed. And my wife always marvels. Everywhere we've gone, I always know the people at the bank. And it's not because they have money. Trust me. Because it's just one of the things in our daily. I've had so many platforms to talk to five or six people and just preach Christ at a bank setting. And it just seems like somebody going in, the Holy Spirit of God just clears enough people out to where they're totally engrossed to where I can just preach Christ. Because I go to do that. Go to the grocery store and you'll be amazed. You go to the grocery store to reach somebody for Christ. God will drop somebody down on your aisle that you can preach Christ to. We'll drop you at the cashier and it'll be busy. All of a sudden it'll just clear out. And you'll be able to share Christ. And you'll find you'll actually make a difference in people's lives. But they go. And you know what I find in my life? That when my life isn't going the way it's supposed to be, I'm not really going for the Great Commission's sake. I'm going for survival. I'm going, trying to get to what some would call the next level, maybe. But if I just go, ye therefore and teach all nations, it's amazing that one word empowers my day, guides my day, strengthens my day. Last of all, and we'll turn to Matthew chapter 14 for this one. We don't have to spend much time here because y'all know I reference often when referring to Peter when he walked in the water. It's Jesus Christ. And anybody here really want to live a life that's pleasing to God? Don't say it just because I said so, but seriously, I mean, if you don't have to say it, you don't have to answer again. But I mean, this is for you. If you really want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, this is for you. This will help you. Now, Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into his ship and to go before him unto the other side. While he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. You know, I wonder, why could they not know it was him? But you know, the Bible says he had no form nor comeliness, that we should desire him. You know, there's nothing about Christ the way he, as you saw, even his physique, the way he stood out in the crowd. There was nothing about him that said, oh, wow. They could look him at a glance and say, oh, that's the Son of God. No, he would just, for lack of a better word, if you read the way it's described, he was ordinary. So that the power of Christ would be the thing that his power would be what we would be drawn to rather than anything physical about him. And verse, where are we at? What verse are we in? 26? Thank you. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway, that means immediately, because God is love, he didn't like his servants afraid. Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Last of all, one word from God is enough to empower you to walk as Jesus walked. One word from God is enough to empower you to walk as Jesus walked. Because Peter understood something. Though there's a storm all about him, he's, Lord, You can walk through the storm, and if you just give me one word, I can walk through the storm just like you walking through the storm. You know, we oftentimes think that our generation is, that we live in, is so much harder to declare Christ than it is back then. You know, you read Corinthians. I never forget my home church, and I was training for the ministry, and the pastor had me. Pastor was going to be out of town, and he was preaching the book of Corinthians, and the book that I had to start with, I had to fill in with chapter 5, and which is, it's commonly reported there's fornication among you. It's much every man has his brother's wife. And I thought, that's, you know, when you come and you want to make your dynamic front as a preacher, you're not thinking, oh man, I got to deal with this subject, you know. You understand, in the church of Corinth, it was so incredibly wicked within the church that every man had his brother's wife. And they weren't even sorry about it. It was open. It was like fornication was just commonly accepted within the church, and it was known about it. And people, nobody mourned over it. I mean, and I know fornication takes place in churches today, but generally people are kind of secretive about it. But it was so wicked within the church, and I want you to understand, this is not so far removed from the day that, you know, thousands of people got saved. And the Bible says they went everywhere preaching the word. I mean, the Holy Ghost had moved in such a way. And now, not too distant from that, within the church, fornication is so rampant. Every man had his brother's wife. And God says, you're not even mourning about it. You just accept it and go on, you know. And so it wasn't this pristine, totally clean age that when the Bible was transformed. I mean, they had some issues. They had some problems. I mean, we are in church today, we argue over dress and music. I mean, and there was fornication in the church, and nobody cared. And so we don't have it as bad as we think we do. You know that? And so God can actually work in the way He still can do. But one word from God is enough for you to walk as Jesus walked. If you are one of those that said amen, either outwardly or inwardly, that you really have a sincere desire to be everything that God wants you to be. You know why one of the reasons you're often not doing that, because God speaks to you and He shows you what the way He wants you to walk. And it hits you. Wow. Especially a small church like this. Can I just tell the truth while I'm preaching? Is that all right? Okay, let's take a small church like this. God speaks to you today and He tells you how you should walk. And that's like Christ, by the way. Would you agree that way? But even in a small sin like this, we know from the previous example that we may have set with those in such a small setting that the reaction is not necessarily going to be somebody's going to praise the Lord that I'm trying to give everything for Christ. And then so we think, wow, you know, I've been kind of acting like this and carried myself in this way. If I really sell out, nobody's going to believe me. Some will shun me. Some of the things we used to do, we can't do. And then there's a second thing that says, if you overcome that hurdle, then there's that one hurdle that says, man, you know, I kind of tried this before. I tried to give everything before and tried to live totally for God, and I just wasn't able to maintain it. I just wasn't really able to keep up. I felt that way before. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I felt that way before. If you've had any church experience at all, you've been to a revival meeting or a special meeting at some time in your life, and in that meeting, God so moved your heart, and you said, now, Lord, everything is yours forever. And 3 months later, back same way you were before the meeting started. And the guy speaks again, and he thought, oh, you want to, and he went out and made all these bold statements, but that the Spirit of God led you to make. And then you tried to go for it, and then all of a sudden you find yourself back again. And now, maybe today, because there's a reason God had me preach this. I mean, there's something in your heart that says, no, I really want to walk like Jesus wants me to walk. Or maybe you're saying, I hope the person I like is not listening to this, because I really don't want them to walk as Jesus walked, because I want to stay where I'm at. That's true too in any church, you know that. I've been there too, you know. Even as a preacher, you know, you can go through stages. You don't have friends too spiritual because you want to be carnal. Amen. I'm just a real person. Y'all understand that, right? So I'm just telling the truth. And so you hear a message like that, and you really, the first thing you want to do is kind of calm or cool off the movement of the Holy Ghost, because if somebody really catches the glory of what God is trying to do, that's going to make you look bad or make me look bad. I wish everybody here would make my Christianity look terrible. You know, I really mean that. I wish everybody in this room would make my Christianity look terrible. Because then y'all would pray for me and I would get better. And I'd really fully be everything God wants you to be. But why can't we do it together, though? Don't you think God would have that? That we really do it together? But, you know, and can I tell you? It doesn't take a PhD. It doesn't take understanding all the whatever, how many, depending on what church you're from, how many articles of faith and Baptist doctrine, fully understand it. I think the one I was ordained under, I think it was 22 or 23 articles of faith that I was ordained under. It doesn't take you to accurately be able to defend and to do all those things to really have the life that God wants you to have. I'm trying to encourage you today. I'm just trying to tell you, it just takes one word from God. One word from God. And if you take that one word, you know what that word will be? It will be step one. Steps of a good order of the Lord. And if you'll just take that one word, you know how Peter walked in the water? He took that first step based on the authority of God's word. Oh, my Father, please help. I thank you for just how you encouraged my own heart through this message. And Lord, and you had me preach it again, not just for them, but for me. God, you really created everybody in this room to walk as you walked. Father, would you please bind Satan and everything that's been used to distract, to try to take away from what you are trying to speak into the hearts of those that you love so much that you gave your own blood for them. Father, I rejoice in the power of your name that is above every name. That, Father, once you begin to perform a work, that hell itself cannot stop what you are trying to accomplish. So I rejoice. I thank you for the victory already. And Father, I just pray now for these precious, precious people that are here today. God, you know that right now there's fearful people in this room. There's hurting people in this room. There's self-righteous people in this room. And there's every stage under the sun in this room. But Father, you want to help. And I thank you for giving the word to help. Now, Lord, would you, someone here right now has a condition in their home that they have no idea what to do. Would you speak the word to them? Lord, right now, there's someone here that is looking for some proof, some evidence that the way you want them to live is really worth it, that it really make a difference, and they're looking for some evidence to trust you. Would you just speak the word? Show them that your word is just as powerful as your physical presence. And Father, there's someone here that really wants to live for you, but in their mind, they've really tried giving everything before, and it didn't seem to make a difference. Would you help them know that their faith will stand out in the midst of the nation if they just trust the word that you spoke to them? And Father, there are some in this room that they have a heart's cry. They see the storm all around. They know there's storm. They know there's sin. They see all the storm, but they see you. And they just want you to ask them to come. because they want to walk as you walk through the storm. They don't want to walk through the storm afraid. They don't want to walk through the storm trusting their own self-righteousness. They don't want to walk through the storm trusting their own abilities. They just want to walk through the storm like you walked. And they want to be able to walk in the midst of the storm when other people are afraid and be able to say, be not afraid. Lord, would you use the word of God today? And we need to speak to the hearts of the precious ones that have gathered here today. And would you burn this word in our hearts so we can praise you, exalt you, live for you based on one word from God. Father,